How many of you guys have seen the new Buick commercials? Anybody seen those? Ones where there's a little old lady and she says, that doesn't look like a Buick. You guys seen that one? And then there's a young guy, he's running up and down a car lot and he's saying, I'm looking for a Buick, I'm looking for a Buick. And then there's these two nebby neighbors and they're looking out the window and they said, that doesn't look like a Buick. You guys remember seeing that commercial? Well, Buick's new slogan is we have a bold new look. I don't know if you know this or not, but Buick was about ready to go bankrupt. Did you know that? And Buick realized that if they didn't change their image, if they didn't change the way they did things, they were going to be in trouble. How many know that sometimes the church is in trouble and don't even realize it? Amen. And Buick realized that if they didn't change everything, change their look, change their image, change everything, that they're going to be in a world for serious trouble. Amen. I feel that that's the way the church is right now. How many know that sometimes New Hope Assembly of God has to make a little bit of tweaks and changes for stuff to happen? How many know that sometimes change isn't easy? It's hard, ain't it? But I want to tell you that if, just like Buick, if we don't change the way we do things, if we don't change our image, our look, the way we do stuff, it's going to be bad, my friends. Amen. You have to go with the flow. See, that's the problem with some churches. They don't want to go with the flow, and then they go with the flow, but it ain't the right flow. Speaking about Buick, my very first car that I had ever owned was a 1977 Buick Skylark. How many remember the 1977 Buick Skylark? Raise your hand. It was an ugly car. It was all white, and my dad, to be able to have it pass inspection, he put primer all over these holes that were all over it. So he had burgundy and blue putty holes all over it, primer and all that. And it was a white car with purple and blue polka dots all over the thing. And it had no power steering. I remember the days of no power steering. And you had to stick your whole body into the car just to turn it. You remember that, Pastor Steve? You're way too young for that.
We had a Geo Metro that had manual steering.
I was going to say, Pastor Steve's too young for that. You don't remember that. Well, anyways, I had this Buick Skylark, and I had this great idea one day that I was going to take a paint scraper and pop off the emblem on the back where it said Skylark and tell everybody it was a Chevy Nova because it looked just like a Chevy Nova. And I want to tell you, my friends were dumb enough to believe that. But just no matter how many times I told people that that was a Chevy Nova, there was no change in that thing from being a Buick Skylark. And see, I think that's what happens a lot in the church today. We try looking like something we're not. We're trying to act like something we're not. We're trying to be something we're not. We just need to be exactly who God has called New Hope to be in this time and season. Amen. See, God has called you to be here at this point in time for God to do something awesome in this area. Do you know that God wants to do something awesome here? You know, I go to so many different churches, and it just seems like they don't know how to flow. How many know what I mean by flowing? What you just experienced there around the altar tonight, that's called flowing. Not a lot of churches know how to do that. I want to tell you, my wife and I, we were talking. We went to go grab a coffee after we had lunch with Pastor Steve and Becky. And we were talking about how you start flowing, sister. And that's unheard of in churches today. I'm talking to see that kind of stuff happen, where you got the prophetic and the psalmist and all that stuff mixed together, and there's a freedom and the liberty and everything's all just working together. You don't see that stuff. You just don't see it. And this message that God laid on my heart tonight, we're going to be talking about creating an atmosphere where the Spirit of God can move. But something that God had laid on my heart just a few months back, and I've preached a couple messages on it, and I'm not going to preach this, I just want to touch on it real quickly, is that the church just isn't passionate enough for his presence anymore. And that's something God's really been speaking to me a lot about. We have no passion at all for the presence of God sometimes. No passion for it. If he shows up, that's great. If he doesn't, that's okay too. That should never be the attitude. You heard me say this morning. If he doesn't show up, there's no reason for us to even come here. If his presence ain't here, ain't no use to even coming. And he wants to come and he wants to have a visitation with us. But if we're not willing to have him show up, if it just doesn't matter to us, if it's no big deal to us, man, he can't show up in an atmosphere like that. He can't show up in an atmosphere like that. Amen? Take a look at Genesis chapter 1 tonight. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. You guys were probably thinking this guy's going to have his scripture verses up on the wall tonight. Sorry. I pulled a woolly booger on you tonight. This is a fresh message, so I didn't have time to make up a PowerPoint. Take a look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to take a look at 1 through 2. Is everybody there? We're talking about creating an atmosphere for the Spirit of God to move in. And this is just some stuff that God's been revealing to my heart tonight. It says here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." It says here that in verse 2, it says, before the earth was even formed, before it was even created, it says that the earth was without form. There was nothing to it yet. It wasn't formed yet. It wasn't created yet. It says it was form. It was without form and void. In other words, void means there was nothing there. It was empty. There was nothing there. See, I feel that if we're going to create an atmosphere where God can move, where his Spirit is welcomed, where he can move and have access, there has to be something there. It can't be void. See, in order for God to move, there has to be some kind of life there. See, before the heavens and the earth was even created, there was nothing there. There was no form. Everything was void. It was empty. There was nothing there. And God cannot move in an atmosphere like that. It says there in verse 2 that the Spirit of God hovered over the deep water. In other words, how many of you have ever seen a hovercraft before? Why is it called a hovercraft? Because it just hovers in one spot. Can it move? Sure it can. But it just hovers there. And see, if God has no place to move, if God has no way of having access into the key, having a key into our heart to be able to move within our churches, within our church, if there's no life there, it's without form, if it's void, if it's empty, if there's nothing going on, he can't move, right? It's not that New Hope doesn't know what I'm talking about. I just want to take New Hope to the next level tonight. Amen. Because if we're going to create an atmosphere in which God can move in, there has to be some life to it. God cannot move where there's no life. Where it's empty, where it's voided, where there's nothing going on. So we have to be able to create that atmosphere. How do we create that atmosphere? Well, we can surely do it by praise, can't we? by praising him, by worshiping him. There's all sorts of ways, intercessory prayer. We can create an atmosphere. But we have to know that in order to create an atmosphere, when we create this thing, we just don't allow it to just drop off. And that's what happens so often. I've seen so many services where we'd go in and the Spirit of God will start moving in a church. People will start getting healed, saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit. People will break out in laughter. People will break out in dancing. Things will start happening in the spirit realm. But when the people get tired and 9:30 starts rolling around, well, it's time to close up shop. It's all done with tonight. See, when we create that atmosphere, we just don't allow it to go dormant. We keep it stirring and going continually. See, what I've come to realize is that a lot of churches, that they don't want to create an atmosphere. Creating an atmosphere to them, it gets messy. Or it's too kooky. Because see, when any time the spiritual gifts start operating, people don't like that. They shut that off. Thank God for New Hope that they don't shut that stuff off. Amen. So we see here that in the beginning of the heavens and the earth, that it was that without form, it was void, it was dark, and the Spirit of God just hovered there. See, we want to get the Spirit of God from that out of that hovering state into the atmosphere of where he starts moving throughout. Where there's somebody over here giving tongues and there's an interpretation going on over here. There's prophecy up here in the front row. There's people dancing in the back. There's so much freedom and liberty that atmosphere has been created. Take a look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to take a look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Knowing first that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. See, if we're going to create an atmosphere in which God can move in, it has to start with inside us. Amen? It can't be our will to get it done. I won't say that again. It can't be our will to get it done. See, a lot of people in church wants to see a move of God, and then they start trying to make things happen. And there ain't nothing wrong with that sometimes. Sometimes that needs to happen. I want to read you a story. How many have ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth before? Smith Wigglesworth had said something. It goes like this. It says, if the Spirit don't move, I will move the Spirit. Now, you think about that, and you think to yourself, what does that mean? But it goes right along with what we just read there in 2 Peter, where it says that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. See, we have to feel moved tonight by the Spirit of God. See, a lot of people, they don't want to feel moved by the Spirit of God. But where this came from, I want to read to you the full account where this story came from. How many have ever heard that thing that I just quoted? How many of you ever heard Smith Wigglesworth said that? That if the Spirit don't move, I'm going to move the Spirit. This is where it took place at. I'm going to read you the story of where that happened at. It says, one Sunday he was in a strange town in search for a place of worship. He found himself in a friend's meeting's house. He sat quietly just like people for a time. And then his experience became like that of a psalmist who said, while I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. His soul was ablaze, and liquid fire flowed from his lips. At the close of the service, leaders gathered around him, exclaiming, "How quickly you were moved by the Spirit, Smith Wigglesworth. But your secret, what is your secret? Do please tell us what it is." They were somewhat astounded at his blunt reply. "Well, you see, it is like this. If the Spirit does not move, I will move the Spirit." That was doubtless a crude way for him to express himself. But we had never often heard him say that. As I started out in the natural, this is what he would always say. Smith Wigglesworth would always say, "As I start out in the natural, in faith, the Spirit of God always meets me and anoints me so that although I start in the natural man, I will continue out what's going on in the Spirit." See, what has to happen is when God begins to move and we create an atmosphere, it's because of our faith and because of us and what we are expecting God to do. See, God can never move unless there's an expectation on your part. It's that way in healing, isn't it? You have to have faith to see something happen, right? See, it has to be your expectations to see that move. If you don't want to see a move of God, you won't see a move of God. If you don't want the Spirit of God to move in your life and in this church's life, you won't have it. Right? It won't happen. And this is the reason why sometimes when the Spirit of God moves, he has a hard time moving because we're not willing to create the atmosphere for him to be able to move in. And that's why he just hovers. And if nothing's going on, he's out the back door. See, sometimes you'll sense. I don't know if you've sensed this. We even sensed it a little bit this morning. But you can sense waves of the Spirit of God when he comes. You'll see where he'll start moving in one way. And he'll start going in a different direction. And if you're not catching up, if you're not knowing what the Spirit of God's going to do next, it doesn't take very long to mess things up. Amen? I remember one time I was preaching at a church over in Ohio. And there was so much stuff going on, I could just not lock into what the Spirit of God was doing. Have you ever had that happen before? You're just completely dumbfounded what he's doing. And I could not lock in. And it was because of the atmosphere that was in the church. See, I ended up finding out later on after I had ended up preaching there, the pastor and I had gone out to lunch, and he told me, "This family over here is fighting. This guy over here wants this board member out. This family wants me out." And there was all this bickering, there was all this dissension, and that's why the Spirit of God couldn't move. See, he can't move in an atmosphere like that. I said he can't move in an atmosphere like that. If we're going to create an atmosphere, it can't have dissension and bickering and backbiting and all that stuff. Amen? So we see here that Smith Wigglesworth said that if the Spirit of God ain't going to move, I'm going to move him. You know God will get moved by your worship? Do you know the Spirit of God will get moved by your faith? He'll get moved when you really want to see him move. See, the reason why we don't see the Spirit of God move sometimes is the same reason we don't see revival sometimes. We just don't want it bad enough. Right? Because I want to tell you, if we really wanted the move of God, we would create that atmosphere. And it's not that hard to do. It's not that hard. You know, I had a young girl come to me one time at the altar, and she said, "I just don't feel the Spirit of God in my life." And I told her, it's not about feelings. It's not about feelings. It's not about anything like that. I love what Paul told Festus. He says, God is as close to you as he is to me. He's no respecter of person. But it's not about feeling. It's not about experience. Amen? We can't base the moving of the Spirit of God off of experiences. I remember one time I when I was younger, I was about 16, 17 years old, I went to the altar and I had an experience with God. What ended up happening was my mouth started moving real fast, my tongue started moving real fast, and it wasn't tongues. But I'm telling you, everybody around me heard it too. I had this sound come out of my mouth that sounded like a trumpet. And I'll tell you, you could never recreate it. But I ended up finding myself, this is what I'd do. Every Sunday afterwards, I'd go back to the altar and I would seek that experience. Every Wednesday night, I would go to youth group and I would seek that experience. Instead of seeking an atmosphere for God to move in, I was seeking the experience of that atmosphere. And I would beat myself up every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night at every service saying, why, Lord, why did you move like that and you won't move again like that? Here's the whole thing, my friends. God is sovereign. In other words, do you know what the word sovereign means? That means God will do whatever he wants. He's going to move when he wants. But I'll tell you what, I'd be wanting to, this is the way I think, I'd rather create the atmosphere and let God move in that atmosphere so that if he shows up, he can move. Amen? Amen. He's sovereign enough to show up when he wants and do what he wants. But my friends, if we create that atmosphere before he shows up and he's welcomed in that atmosphere, there's a whole bunch of stuff that could happen. Miracles could start happening. Healings could start happening. I remember I was preaching about 3.5 years ago. My wife and I, we got asked to go preach at a church. It was running about 300 people. And we were at the altar, and we were I was preaching, and we just got into the altar call, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the whole congregation broke out in a dance. And I'd never seen anything like that before. It was because of the way the atmosphere was created. And soon as all this happened, the Spirit of God just broke out. This atmosphere was created, and people started dancing and shouting, and just it was unbelievable. I ended up having this guy walk up to me after the service. And he says, "That's the best service we've had at this church in 30 years. Oh, I'm like, wow, that's awesome. Well, about a week later, I got a call from the pastor at that church who told me he wanted a move of God like that, but it got too messy. See, when God moves and you don't move with him, it gets messy for you, not for him. Amen? This guy called me up and he said, "I need to talk to you." He said, "You know, I had people really like that service, but I really wasn't convinced of it." And he said, "There's a millionaire who attends my church that was the gentleman that I just told you about saying that was the best service he saw in 30 years. He said, I actually went to his house to apologize to him about how the service went. That shows you where his mind was. He says, I went to apologize to him about how the service would went. And then he ended up telling me he liked it. It was the greatest thing he ever saw. So I'm asking him, then what is the problem then?" He just didn't want a move of God like that. I remember the night before he took my wife out, me and out for dinner, and he says, "I want revival. I want a move of God's Spirit." But when it started, he was not willing to get out of the way to actually see it happen. You want to know what ended up happening? A week after that phone call, he had resigned from that church and moved back to Minnesota. See, if you're not willing to move with the Spirit of God, I'll tell you what, God will move you right on out. If you're not willing to create an atmosphere where God can be and he can move and function and operate, he'll move you right on out. Because guess what? If this church right here is going to create an atmosphere and you're not willing to be in the flow of that atmosphere, God will move you right on. I've seen this happen dozens of times. I'm sure pastors heard stories like this. It's called weeding out, baby. And if you ain't on the same page, then weeding out is what happens. Amen? Because see, that's what happens when it comes to creating an atmosphere for God to move in. If you're not willing to go with the flow, then you're going against the current, baby. Take a look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to take a look at verse 34. Luke chapter 1, verse 34. And we're going to take a look at verse 34 and verse 35. Everybody there? Verse 34 says, "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' Verse 35, "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" Now look at verse 35 there again. It says, "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you.'" See, what God wants to do is that he wants his Spirit to come upon us as individuals and on the church. If you were to look up how many times this was in the Bible, the word, just those two words together, the three words, "come upon us," it's only found twice in the Bible. Can you tell me where they're at? Do you know where they're at? Over here in Luke chapter 1, there, verse 34 and 35, and then Acts 1:8, where he says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." See, in both parts, in Luke and in Acts, when it says there will be a coming upon you, it always refers to the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to come upon us. Now, if you look this word up, the definition to come upon, it means to approach or overtake, to come to or arrive. How many know I want the Holy Spirit to arrive tonight? Amen. It means to approach or to overcome. How many of you have ever been overcome by him? See, the Holy Spirit wants to approach us tonight. He wants to overcome us. He wants to overtake us. That's what that coming upon us, it's only found twice. And both refer to the Holy Spirit. We want the Spirit of God to come upon us and rest upon us. See, when he comes upon us and he rests upon us, then he can start moving through us. But he can't do that before that. Now, I want you to look at it. It says here that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will have the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Now that word overshadowed, it says that that when the Holy Spirit came upon her, that she would be overshadowed by the Most High. Now this word overshadowed, the definition of it means to be enveloped. How many have ever heard the word enveloped before? When you think of the word overshadowed, you think of the word enveloped. And this word envelop means to surround, to cover, to enfold, to engulf, to encircle, to to encompass a cocoon-like state to be enclosed in. How many of you have ever seen maybe, you know, pigs or cows and they're all fenced in, or maybe you have a dog and it's fenced in? See, there's no way of getting out. There's a covering around it. I mean, know that God wants to uncover you tonight. He wants to cover you up. He wants to encircle you. He wants to engulf you. I love that part where it says, like a cocoon-like status. You see, when God overshadows you and he puts his wings, those shadows of his wings, as it talks about over in Psalm 91, he overshadows you. There's a transformation happening there, ain't it? See, that's what the Spirit of God can do. It could transform us. When there's a moving of God's Spirit, there's transformation that comes with that. I love this next definition that they gave. I found this in one Bible word dictionary, and it described the word overshadow as this: God's overshadowing presence that brings his plans to pass. When God overshadows us, when his presence shows up, because this atmosphere had been created, he starts transforming us. His plans are going to come to pass. How many know that God has a plan for this place? I love that translation. That definition. I want to read that to you one more time. The overshadowing, it says God's overshadowing presence that brings his plan to pass. See, that's why we need to create an atmosphere for God to be able to move in, for the Spirit of God to move in. But see, just like what we read over there in 1 Peter, it has to take us to be able to allow the Spirit of God to move, for us to get out of the way and allow the Spirit of God to move. And if we aren't going to get out of the way, then we better move the Spirit of God to start moving. Amen? Because he's got a plan. He's got a purpose. I remember when I was younger, I was in a service just like this, and there was a man named Tiff Shuttlesworth. How many of you ever heard of Tiff Shuttlesworth before? He's an evangelist with the Assemblies of God. And he came to preach for a week at our church. And at one time, he was attending Zion Bible Institute. How many have ever heard of Zion Bible Institute? And he said that there was one morning he showed up for chapel when he was there. And he said that the young people of the school got together real early one day before chapel, before they had their services, and they began to pray, and they began to worship, and they began to seek the face of God. And Tiff Shuttlesworth had said that everybody, while this praise was going on and the worship was going on, the praying was going on, he said that a cloud of God's glory, and they got this recorded up there at the school, God's cloud showed up, and this thick cloud filled the whole room, and it just hovered up in the ceiling. And Tiff said, if it was just one or two people, I would have said everybody was crazy, but there was 300 students there that morning that all witnessed it, and they all experienced it, and they all examined this thing firsthand with their own eyes. See, they created an atmosphere to where God can move in. They created an atmosphere with prayer and worship. See, that's how God will start moving, my friends, when we create that atmosphere. Amen. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. I saw some of you wiping your eyes. You're probably saying, oh man, I thought this guy was going to preach like he did this morning. At least he kept me up. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. You there? Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll tell you what it's saying in context. It says here, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And he goes on into verse 8 and 9 and 10 and 11. He starts describing these spiritual gifts that the Spirit of God gives to men for the profit to men. Now notice there, it said, let me read it again. It says here that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. See, when the Spirit of God is manifested, it should be manifested to each and every one of us. When God's Spirit starts moving, it's a manifestation unto us. When there's gift of tongues and prophecy and interpretation and healing, and he goes on and he says that in verse 8 and verse 9 and verse 10, I'll just read it. It says, to one is given words of wisdom and one to words of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, another gift of healing and some of the same, to one the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation. But one of the same Spirit works all these things. Say all these things. Distributing to each one individually as he wills. See, it says that the manifestation of the Spirit. See, when God begins to move, when an atmosphere has been created, when that atmosphere has been created, God begins to move and His Spirit is manifested in our presence. Does that make sense? I don't know if you remember this morning, but I got a word up here that somebody was supposed to give a word of prophecy right then and there. And then somebody stood up and they gave that word. See, we have to know when the Spirit of God is moving. And then when we're just blowing, just making up our own stuff. I mean, have you ever seen that before? You know, it says here, a manifestation of the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit of God shows up and it's there. It's manifesting itself. I mean, have you ever watched Perry Stone? His show is called Manifest. But he's taking the word manna from bread and then fest. Manifest. You know, I think maybe that's what's missing in our church today is fresh manna from heaven. I'm going to just throw this out. This ain't even part of my message. But I think that if we would just allow fresh manna to show up in our church again, fresh manna from heaven show up in our church, people would want to come. That's right. You know, if people have fresh manna in church, they want to come. I told Pastor this, and some of you were here today when I said it. But people love coming to this church because there's freedom, there's liberty. There's allowing of God's Spirit to move. But then I went on to tell you, everybody loves the moving of the Spirit. But then sometimes when the Spirit's moving, everybody leaves it and goes out the back door. Some people check out. You know, they might be here, but they've checked out. They're down the road eating the buffet already and they ain't even there yet. But we need to see a manifestation of the Spirit of God. If we're going to create an atmosphere, when we do create this atmosphere and where God's Spirit can move, there's going to be a manifestation of the Spirit. I had heard this story one time. There's this minister had a young man walk up to him, and he said, Pastor, I'm waiting for my healing. He said, all right, son, just wait for the manifestation. The next time the boy came up, and he came up with something totally different. He says, Pastor, I'm believing for a new horse. And he said, well, just keep on believing, just wait for the manifestation. And about 3-4 weeks, this boy just keeps coming up saying, "Pastor, I'm still waiting for my horse." He says, "Just wait for the manifestation, son." About 10, 12 weeks go by, and the boy comes up, and he's frustrated. He says, "Pastor, you keep telling me about this man who's coming from the station." Isn't that something what we do sometimes? We're confused about what the manifestation of the Spirit is. We get confused about what the manifestation truly is of the God's Spirit. We need it to manifest and be made known in our midst, right? Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. And it says, "Those who are the sons and daughters of God will be led by the Spirit of God." It says, those who are the children, those who are sons and daughters of God, will be led by the Spirit of God. See, if we're going to have a moving of God's Spirit, if we're going to create an atmosphere where God's Spirit can move, we have to be Spirit-led. See, what happens so often is, and I want to tell you, you guys are a gem, but about 75% of the AG churches nowadays, they don't want a moving of God's Spirit. They don't want the Spirit of God to move. I was preaching at a church. When I got the invitation, I couldn't even believe it, because I'd contacted this guy previously before, and he had actually said in the conversation to me that I was too Pentecostal for him. And then he ended up inviting me to his church anyways, and it ran like 600-700 people. Well, it was rough, brother. And I got there, and the pastor introduced him. I went to his office, and I met him. It was the first time I ever met him. He extended his hand. He shook my hand. The very first thing out of his mouth, he said, this is the first thing he said, "I am the most non-Pentecostal you will ever meet." He says, "I am the most non-Pentecostal you will ever meet." And I got 10 minutes to go out to preach, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that. So I go out and I preach. And I'm talking, people, I preach just like I did what you would have saw this morning. And I got about 600-700 people looking at me like this. It was way too much for them. They'd never seen anything like that. We started praying for people to get healed and baptized in the Holy Spirit and everything else. But what was the icing on the cake was, I'd got a word that somebody had a word over here in the corner. And it was this little guy from India, had very broken English. And I knew when I felt in my spirit that somebody had a word, I knew it was going to be that little Indian guy over there in the corner. And he stood up with his broken English, and he gave this beautiful word from God. And I'm telling you, I felt the Spirit of God just come all across that sanctuary. Soon as that man gave that word, the pastor comes up and rips the microphone out of my hand. And he says, "All right, we learned a lot about the Spirit of God tonight, but we can't hang around here at the altar all night. It's time to go." And that was it. It was all over with. See, people don't want to have a move of God's Spirit. And even, Pastor, when the atmosphere might have never been created and there's just a little spark being created, if it's not what they want, they kill it. They kill a move of God. You know, over there in the book of Acts, it talks about Peter and how the council was there. And they said that if these men are from God, we won't be able to stop them. But if this isn't from God, it will fizzle out. What they wanted to do was they wanted to kill the move of God. And that's what a lot of people are trying to do today, is kill the move of God in the church. I was preaching about a year ago at a church. You might say, man, you got a lot of horror stories. I sure do. I had a pastor call me up one time. His church was running about the same amount, 600-700 people. I've come to notice that the churches that are bigger end up not really liking what I got to say when I get there. And it's because most of them have gone seeker-friendly. They're all seeker-friendly, you know, don't upset the apple cart, just leave us alone. We like being done within an hour, all that. Give me my laser light show, my rock show, give me my coffee shop. See, you guys probably don't know that, but that's what most churches want today. They want a laser light show, a rock show, 20 minutes of preaching, 20 minutes of music, get me out by 12 o'clock, and that's it. There's no fellowship, there's no worship, there's really nothing going on. It's just a social club. And this guy, this pastor, he invited me. He said, I heard about all the healings that have been happening. I heard about people getting saved, all these miracles, all these things happening. He says, I want to invite you to come to our church for 3 services. I said, that's great, I'll come. And I get there, and I preached, and I just gave the altar call. The whole church comes forward to the altar call. And as I gave the altar call, people came to the altar, and they're just worshiping the Spirit of, just worshiping, and the Spirit of God just begins to move. And I think it had been a long time since they had seen anything like that, and they were hungry for it. But what I ended up doing was, when that altar call got started, I stepped down off of the pulpit, and I came down to start praying with people, and the pastor grabbed the mic, another one again. Grabbed the mic, he went up, and he says, all right, that's a great service, we'll see you all back here again tonight. AG Church. And I said to the pastor, I said, Pastor, I said, I was just getting ready to come down and pray with people. What's going on? He says, well, we don't have altar calls here. I said, well, what do you mean? He says, well, we don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. You know, people don't want to feel uncomfortable, and we don't want to make them feel uncomfortable. You know, they just like to sit back, hear the message, and that's it. We don't try to, you know, we don't want to mess with anybody. Just let them fight. Yeah, whitewashing pretty much, you know. They use this term a lot. They're on a journey, and let them go on the journey by themselves alone, you know. And I looked at the pastor, and I said, Pastor, I was just getting ready to pray with people. That's the whole reason you invited me here. I said, how am I supposed to pray for the sick if you ain't going to allow me to? And he says, well, God knows my heart. You know, I just don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable. I said, well, how am I supposed to pray for the sick? That's what you invited me here for. There was really no answer. See, I come to realize that when it comes to miracles and healings and stuff like that, people want healings. They want miracles. They want to see people get saved. They want to see this, but they don't want what happens to create that atmosphere for it to be able to happen. They're all good on seeing healings and everything like that, But we don't want to do what creates the atmosphere to be able to have those things happen. And see, what we have to get out of our mind is we can never, ever, 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 ever want to see the miracles and the hand of God move and not want to create the atmosphere in which it will take place in. If God's going to move, it's going to be because the atmosphere was created because you want to see those things happen. I have one more chapter I want to read to you. Turn to 2 Samuel, and we're going to close with this tonight. 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 6. We're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 6, and we're going to look at 1 through 16. Again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000, and David arose and went into where the people were with him from Baal to Judah to bring up the ark from God, the ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubims. So they set the ark on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill of Uzzah, and Ao, the son of Abinadab, drove the new cart. Now I want to stop there for a second. It says here, and you guys probably realize where I'm going with this. It says that they went and they took the ark of God and stuck it on a new cart. See, maybe you don't realize this, but that new cart is a representation of new methods, new ideas, a new way of thinking. I remember hearing reading Charles Finney said this. He said the new measures, in other words, the new methods that are popping up in today's churches are going to destroy it. And he said that 160 years ago. And I want to tell you, there's new methods today that are popping up in the church today that are going to destroy a move of God, where the Spirit of God can't move in those instances. I want to tell you, there's new cart mentalities here today. How many know that there was probably nothing wrong with that old cart? But they wanted something new. They wanted something fancier. Exactly. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, Pastor and I was talking about this morning. But nowadays, people sing these praise and worship songs, and it's all about me, 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 me. There's nothing about him, 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 him. They want to sing all these songs about what I can do. You know, there's songs about what my faith can do, what I can do, what I can do. If it's all about me, it's all about me. Yeah. But there's nothing about singing to him, my friends. God doesn't want to be sung about or talked about. He wants to be sung to. And that's this new measure. That's this new cart mentality. I honestly want to tell you, I don't believe that God can move in an atmosphere like that when it's about me, 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 me. That's this new cart mentality. Let's go on there. It says that they had this new cart and they brought it out of the house and went before the ark. Verse 5, then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of wood and harps and on stringed instruments and tambourines and on cymbals. Well, it seemed like they were doing stuff pretty right there, didn't it? Yeah, so far so good. You know, and we do the same thing. Churches, they have worship. I know a pastor. I love him. I love him as a brother in Christ. I tell you, this guy, he's got a good heart. I really love him. But every time I'm around this dude, he says, I got one of the best worship teams around, man. He brags about it. My wife's over there giggling. She knows who I'm talking about. He's like, there's nobody that can touch my worship team. They're the best. We rock it out. We're awesome. He's just completely always bragging on his worship team. Man, I get sick of hearing it. Ain't that great. You know? But he's always bragging about this worship team. And, you know, David here, he's just, it says he's playing music before the Lord. How many know that sometimes you can just be worshiping God and you might think it's all right, but it might not be. It says that they were playing tambourines and cymbals. Look what verse 6 says. And when they had came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark and took hold of it, for the oxen had stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against him, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. See, if we're going to handle the presence of God, if we're going to handle the presence of God, if we're going to create an atmosphere where God is to where he can move and function and operate, we got to make sure that we're doing it with some holy hands, my friend. We should never want to reach out and touch the manifest presence of God unless we're truly ready for it. And he stuck his hand out. Now, in a sense, he probably thought he was doing the right thing. Wouldn't you think so? He probably thought he was doing the right thing. But he was wrong. And I think so often we think we're doing the right thing. And we try to create an atmosphere on our own. We start trying to do this and do that, when we should just be moving the Spirit of God and allow the Spirit of God to do it. And not try to create the atmosphere on our own. But move the Spirit of God to be able to move in that and create that atmosphere. He goes on there and it says in verse 8, and David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and called that place Perez Uzra to this day. Verse 9, David was afraid of the Lord, and he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? Verse 10, so David would not move the ark of the Lord with him to the city of David, but David took it outside of the house of Obed-Edom. Now, how many remember the story of Obed-Edom? We're going to get to that. But Obed-Edom, it was a blessed place at that time, man, because God's presence was there. Look what it goes on there. It says in verse 11, the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his household. See, when you know how to handle the presence, when you understand when the atmosphere is created and not to mess with it and use your own methods and your own ideas, God will bless that. Amen? God will bless when the atmosphere is created the correct way. Verse 12, now it was when King David sang, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of the Lord. So David went out and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. Now notice, he's doing it with gladness, ain't he? How many of you have ever seen some sour people try to get into the presence of God? Huh? Believe me, I see it every Sunday. I look out across crowds and I see people, they just don't want to be there. There's no gladness whatsoever. Exactly. That's why the Spirit of God can't move in a situation like that. Can't move in a church like that. Amen? He goes on and he says, verse 13, and so it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that he sacrificed an oxen and fatted sheep. See, he wasn't going to mess up this time, Pastor. Every step he took, he was going to make sure that there was going to be a sacrifice. He was going to make sure he was going to get it right this time. And see, sometimes when we're creating an atmosphere where we can host the presence of God, where God's Spirit can move, We have to understand that we better have our steps in order. Not only should we have our steps in order, but we better not step out of bounds that he doesn't come in judgment again. Amen? Look what he goes on there. He says, he goes on and he says in verse 14, "Then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod." Verse 15, "So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord, shouting and with sounds of trumpets." Verse 16, "Now as the ark of the Lord came into the city, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered a burnt offering and a peace offering before the Lord." Now it says there that David was dancing and twirling, and he was just, it says he danced with all of his might. He was creating an atmosphere for the presence of God. He was creating a place where the Spirit of God could come and manifest itself. Now, it said he had taken that and stuck it in a tabernacle that he had built specifically for God. See, we should be building. This house was built for God. We're built here to come and worship and praise God and all that. But see, now we don't have an ark where God's dwelling anymore. He's dwelling in here, my friends. Through the Holy Spirit, he's in here. It says we are now the temples of God. And when we come to gather together, my friends, we're bringing God with us, amen? And he should be able to be manifested through each and every one of us. Whether it's a tongues or gifts or a prophecy or whatever it is, it should be able to be manifested. But if there's not a right attitude, we better watch out. Amen?